This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Brett and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
St. John's Country Day, and that was yesterday as they made their way down to Fort Myers, where the baseball state championships are. And right now, they just gave up a two-run home run in the third inning, and so they got a little bit of a trouble down 2-1 to Northside Christian, but plenty of time left in the game, and St. John's can swing it. So expect them to make a little bit of run. They've come back a couple different times already in the postseason. We'll keep you updated on that one at 10 o'clock in the morning game. Trinity plays tomorrow. How about this? You know, I complain sometimes about whether the FHSAA, or one of my big complaints is, hey, why does Georgia do it better?
Yes.
That's another example of Georgia maybe doing it better. Carlton County is in the state baseball playoffs today.
Mm-hmm.
They canceled school.
Love it.
So the kids can go.
Love it.
The best.
It's awesome, man.
Now, fantastic.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I guess it's the last week of school, right? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
For them?
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
I'm sure they don't test. Like, they're not canceling, like, the final exams
that's
and
a good
stuff.
Point.
So,
like,
yeah, I mean.
We're at the time of year.
Yeah.
But still,
yeah, I still
like
love
the, it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll have a bunch of kids there. And they're trying to go back-to-back, by the way, in Charlton County. So up in Folkestone, Marcel Robinson did a story on them and the track team you can find on our YouTube channel. Action Sports Jax, just subscribe to it. And by the way, Olivia Tassley also did a story on St. John's River baseball and softball. You can find that as well. We have our schedule show a lot on our YouTube channel, although we love you watching here on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 network. Also, you can find that on the app and actionnewsjax.com. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on. I'll tell you this, I got meetings today about even more stuff going on. Another successful game for the Jacksville Armada on our Action Sports Jax 24/7 network Saturday night, and we'll debut the women's team this coming Saturday, so that's pretty cool. Somebody's going to have to give me a thumbs up, Kim's Corner, if we've got Stuart or not. Not yet? Okay. I think Stuart's trying to jump in here and have a little report before the OTAs begin. Gabe Davis not there. He just had a baby.
Yeah, nice.
So, and I mentioned right at the break, Josh Allen in Arizona, you make a nice point. Maybe everybody should go to Arizona.
Maybe we should go to Arizona, man. Everyone get better. You know what I'm saying? It seems like Josh Allen, whatever he's doing there, just keep doing it, Josh, because obviously had some immense effects on your numbers last year, and it helped get you paid.
I think Doug's quote was something to the effect of Josh knows Josh.
Yeah.
And do you sense that there's more trust from coaches to players than maybe when you played? In these kind of situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, just because now, like, everyone is so versed on their own bodies of what they need to do. You know, everyone's different. So I think there definitely is a little more trust now in terms of players doing their own thing because, I mean, listen, it's not like Josh Allen's going on vacation and not going to be working. Like, you know Josh Allen's going to be working. So, yeah, I think there is a little more trust now. And I think when you have that trust and, you know, the player can kind of do what he needs to do, what he feels he is right for him to succeed, I think that they can go a long ways.
You know, listen, I mean, they can't control it anyway. It's voluntary. I'm just saying I feel like there's a little bit, maybe they just have no choice. Maybe that's why you feel less kind of like angst around these moments where, oh, man, I wish the guy was here. I think everybody would rather their guy be here just from a continuity, chemistry, sure, everything else standpoint. But I do get the sense, I mean, from Fred Taylor back in the day to Maurice Jones-Drew, like Maurice Jones-Drew, when he was doing it, felt like there was a little angst around that time if he would miss. But he had his routine. Like, I'm cool with routines and how you work and people you trust. And now I think the Jags have changed that a little bit because of the MEC, the Miller Electric Center. They have every amenity possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit part of it for those guys back in the day. There's less of that now. But, hey, man, like we say, if Josh Allen delivers what he delivered last year, he can go work out on Mars for all we care.
No, without a doubt. And Josh Allen even said it himself. Like, you know, the Miller Electric Center, like, it has everything that you need there as well. So I think he said he will spend some time there training as well and being around his teammates. So I just think some guys like to get out a little bit, be on their own, do their own thing, and more power to you because, once again, when you're Josh Allen, you've earned that right to do that.
Let's go down to Jaguars headquarters right now and bring in Action Sports Shaq Stewart Weber. He is covering the day for us. I'm going to have to ask them, Weber, a little bit about moving these times. Is training camp going to be like this too? Because we got a show 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. If I miss every Jag session, I'm not going to know what to do with myself.
Yeah, neither are we. We don't like that either, by the way. So, maybe they should have consulted with you on the timing of these things. Now, today, I think they found maybe a perfect window with the weather where it was drizzling a little bit when I came in, but they're practicing outside. The music's starting to blare out there. We're going to bring you some live pictures, as they say, from in there in just a bit. But just got out of the session with head coach Doug Peterson and defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen, getting their thoughts as we get ready for these OTAs, off-season training activities here at the MEC. So we're excited to see some players out there.
All right, let's go with some bullet points here, okay? Let's start with joint practices with the Tampa Bay Bucs. No surprise there. Did Doug elaborate why they would do that with the Bucs, or did it just work out organizationally?
I think it just worked out organizationally. He didn't really get into the specifics on why that was the team and the week that they were doing it. But I think it's really cool, and you and I know this from experience, just being able to host a team for joint practices. We've been to some pretty awesome facilities now over the past few years and seen these different squads hosting the Jaguars. Well, now with the Miller Electric Center, this fantastic new facility here in Jacksonville right next to the stadium, the team has all this space. They have the indoor facility. They have plenty of fields outdoors, the stands as well for the fans. So this is a great venue to host another NFL team and to showcase what the Jaguars have built when it comes to this new facility.
Stuart, have the authorities been alerted? Because there seems to be a missing depth chart going on right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I have been told there is no depth chart this time of year, which, you know, you can take that for coach speak if you'd like.
I will.
Certainly that's yeah, you will. That's the mentality, right? There's a depth chart. It's somewhere inside those offices. They have it written down. It's on a whiteboard maybe that we're not allowed to see. There's a depth chart. Let's be honest. But you know what? For all intents and purposes, let's go ahead and say there's no depth chart and everybody is battling. And you know what? C.J. Beathard and Mac Jones coming after Trevor.
Very good.
I didn't think about that. Yeah,
kind of forget C.J. Beathard's still on the roster, by
that's
the way.
Point. That's a good point.
Stuart Weber joined us from Jags headquarters. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got to get in there in a bit, although I think open sessions are until like periods 4, 5, and 6, you mentioned. So we do probably have a little time. Trevor Lawrence contract. I think the conversation about it, Stuart, is interesting. Nobody's hiding from a microphone. Nobody's like being very evasive when it comes to this conversation. Trevor didn't, Balky hasn't, and now Doug Peterson today. I mean, all feelings are this thing is going to get done by the time they kick off in September, maybe even by the time they report back by July training camp.
I think the biggest surprise of those three is Doug Peterson, simply because obviously Trent and Trevor are the two parties involved in this thing and getting it done, right? If you're Doug Peterson, you can just as easily get up to that podium and say, yep, I'm the head coach. I don't worry about contracts. Next question. He didn't do that. Yeah. He certainly spoke at length a little bit just about what it means to have that out of the way and not lingering above you. And he said, you know, it's going to get done. So it's going to get done. That's what we got to go with, right? Right. Certainly an interesting to see Doug Peterson going into that just because of the fact that he really just as easily could have not, especially for OTA number one. Now, if we're asking him at, you know, training camp number one, then he probably has to give a little better answer. It's May. He could just as easily brush that off and say, you know what, let the front office handle this stuff right now. I want to talk a little football.
Yeah, I think there's some significance to that, too. And maybe we're reading into it, but I agree with you on all those fronts. I think the transparency there is very interesting when it comes to the Jaguars. All right, Gabe Davis not there. He just had a baby, and so he's obviously excused. I'm not sure if we'll see him this week. We plan to catch up, or you do, with Christian Kirk today. I think the receiving core is very interesting. I think Kirk's an interesting but almost forgotten piece of this offense at times. He got injured last year. It fell apart when he got injured. He now has a whole new receiving core. Yeah, him and Evan Ingram, but now you add in Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas Jr. I think there's probably a lot on the plate of Christian Kirk Stewart, to make sure everybody acclimates well and everyone gets on the same page. I would put Trevor in that category, too. It's really his job to make sure that's pretty cohesive.
Totally jinxed myself, by the way, on us avoiding the weather as I'm getting rained on now. But I will say the interesting thing for me with Christian Kirk, you remember when they – oh, that bumper is falling off of that car. What is going on with that? Remember when they made that contract with –
pan over. What are you talking about? You can't tease that.
He can't do it all.
It's just me. Oh, I can't do it all, man.
I'm sorry. I thought someone was holding the camera. It's professionally done.
I know. It's because I did it. Yeah, but with Christian Kirk, remember when that contract came out and everyone was like, oh, yeah, they'll just get those first 2 years of the contract and then off he goes. And, you know, he's not going to be able to earn all that money on this contract. Well, he certainly has proven it here with the first couple years of this contract for himself. And he has proven to be such an important part of that offense. So very important to have him back fully healthy for the start of the fall. So it'll be cool to chat with him in a little bit. Plus, he got married. So that's a fun offseason note for him. We'll talk about all those things and bring that to you on Action Sports Jax.
All right, man, go get away from the rain, get the camera out of there, and go fix that bumper. I appreciate you jumping
in. He's fixing it now. He's working on it. One of the workers from here at the neck, just getting that thing all fixed
as
up.
As you get away. All right.
I'm
catch
not
going
to do that to
bit.
The guy.
Okay. All right, guys. That's very nice. That's unlike Weber. I thought he would do that to the guy.
Put him on the spot.
By the way, nice Dream 18 shirt. We got it too. Action Sports Jacks Dream 18. Save the date. September 16th. It's the Monday after the Jacks hopefully beat the Browns at the golf club in Southampton. And we'll have registration open in a couple months. But I want to stay on that part. We're thinking, here's how this works for us. We're allowed to like request a player. Okay. And so I'm kind of like, there's all over the place. You got freaking so many guys, right? I mean, the draft class, I feel like we just talked to.
Sure.
There was Eric Armstead. You can go a lot of different ways. But I was thinking we were going to either go Gabe Davis or Christian Kirk to start.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk to me is actually a little bit more interesting because, again, I mean, this fell apart at the same time as Kirk went down. That first series against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the Jags actually performed very well that day on offense, but and in a couple other games, too, in the next few weeks. But overall, something was amiss. And I don't know how much of that had to do with Kirk. I do think some of that had to do with Trevor and trust factor, because you lose a guy like that. I think he really trusts him, Austin. I mean, I think that's the guy. Evan Engram, too, and Zay Jones as well. But I think that's the guy. He knows where he's going to be, so good IQ-wise. He's such a good pro. As part of the reason the Jags paid him to bring him over here is to get this kind of culture in. And it wasn't just drafting Trevor. The culture in place, I think, had a lot to do with guys like Christian Kirk, and now we continue to see it with Eric Armstead. You bring those kind of players in here to kind of be pros and show the young guys what it looks like. Well, this is his room, right? I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. hopefully is a stud. Yeah. And Gabe Davis is a good football player. But this is Christian Kirk's room, and there's no question about it. Marvin Jones isn't here. Calvin Ridley isn't here. Zay Jones isn't here. This is Christian Kirk's room, and he's a significant part of that offense.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a slot receiver, I think we've talked about all the time on the show. There's a couple friends that a quarterback can have, you know, in terms of trust. The tight end's one of them. I think Evan Engram, you saw that last year with his reception totals, especially when Christian Kirk went down, and also as the slot receiver, where when they moved Christian Kirk to the slot, he really came into his own and had some of his best numbers ever. So, yeah, when Kirk went down, you could definitely see the trust factor was lacking then of who else do you go to. Because Calvin Ridley, you were still kind of building that rapport a little bit, it seemed like, and you didn't have Zay Jones as well. So it kind of put Trevor in a tough predicament. I mean, thankfully, you did have Evan Engram, who was pretty dependable. And I think, what was the last game of the season when the ball went off his hands, interception, against Titans. But overall, I mean, Evan Engram turned out to be that guy. But you have Kirk coming back now healthy. We'll see how Gabe Davis fits in this whole thing. And then obviously Brian Thomas Jr. as well. I mean, you have a lot of things to like in terms of, number one, receivers and tight ends that if it goes to hell a little bit, you can depend on, hey, I know where you're going to be at. But also now you should have some big name players as well, and Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis to kind of take the top off a little more too. So you have a little bit of everything. But yes, I do agree that Christian Kirk is going to be the backbone. He's going to be the constant in how this whole wide receiving core is going to operate.
Hey, Kim, I don't know how quick you can set it up. I think Stewart's still listening. He's already inside. He got away from at least that part of the rain and the bumper guy and has made himself inside and might be able to give us a live look at OTA number one. Only a couple of these kind of – the way it works is just some of the periods are open to the media to be able to get video of. And so I think this one is. And there you go. There's a live look at the mech and the Jags kind of getting some early work on the field. You know, it's interesting. This is phase three, I believe they call it. And so they've been on the field a little bit. It's kind of the first time we're getting our look at the whole team on the field. And when I say whole team, Josh Allen's in Arizona. Gabe Davis just had a kid. And so It's not everybody. But there's the guy. And there's that quarterback room. Mac Jones out there with C.J. Beathard and Trevor Lawrence in the rain in Jacksonville Jags headquarters. And what's significant about that picture right there? The last time we saw Trevor Lawrence really on a football field here at Miller Electric Center, he's got braces all over his body. He's got He's all bandaged up. I mean, he looks clean and healthy, which he told us he was. But it took a while for him to get healthy, and now Trevor's healthy again.
What I'm very curious to see, too, with Mac Jones, keep in mind, Mac Jones, when it rains, has never really been throwing the ball when he came for the Patriots. It was more of just handing the ball off the entire time. So I'm very curious to see how Mac Jones is going to handle actually throwing balls in the rain now, because obviously Bill Belichick wouldn't allow him to do that. He looks pretty natural. Not bad.
He's got the glove on.
Not bad. Hey, Bill, eat your heart out. She should have turned me loose a little more, running it 60 times against the Buffalo Bills.
I think that was more screw you, Austin. I mean, I'd be more than hand off in the rain, pal.
Well, hey, I didn't say he couldn't do that. Obviously, Bill Belichick said he couldn't do that. Did you watch the games? I did.
Trevor Lawrence, you know, you wonder what guys like Trevor work on in the offseason. And as Stewart shows us a little bit of the big guys, too, and there's Brian Thomas Jr. Getting loose and ready to go today. What does a guy like Trevor, do you think, need to work? Everybody works on their craft a little bit. You take a break. You get healthy. There's still some of that. But these guys all have their own quarterback gurus and things. And I don't think he needs to be like a topic of discussion like it was with Blake. Like Blake would go out to California. It's like, okay, shorten that release, try to get the motion better, all these different things. We don't talk about that very often with Trevor Lawrence, right? But he's got to be still working on what?
I mean, I think ball security would be the top thing. And, you know, it's hard to simulate that. You're not going to have guys just chase you down and try to knock the ball out of your hands for the entire summer. But I just think, you know, watching the film a little more, dissecting it, having that internal clock be a little better. But that's probably the biggest thing I would say. And I'm not sure, you bring in a new receiver, so it's hard to get a rapport right away. But I'm sure him and Christian Kirk have hung out a little bit, maybe thrown the ball around, tossed the pigskin around Brett Favre style with his Lee jeans or whatever. So, yeah, I just think building that rapport. My bad. Wrangler. Sorry. But I just think that building that rapport with the receivers is probably the biggest thing he has to do going forward.
Well, there you see receivers. I think these two guys right here can be forgotten about with all the newness that goes on. Mm-hmm. And that is Evan Engram coming off an unbelievable season. I mean, he's been so good for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then Christian Kirk, of course, we were just talking about. I mean, these two guys are his staples, Trevor Lawrence's staples, the guys they trust the most. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, there's so much significance to keeping them healthy, too. They've got to stay healthy. And Evan Engram is, if he has another year, I'm not saying he's going to catch 100. I don't think there's enough footballs for 100. But if he has another 75, 80, 85 catch season, man, I mean, holy cow. What a career in Jacksonville it's turned out to be.
No, without a doubt. I mean, really a resurgence, if you will. It'd be a good story to tell. And once again, a guy that I think when he came here was a little question of what he could actually do for this team. Yeah. And obviously he's achieved and exceeded all expectations.
There's Jags OTA number one, Trevor and
I mean,
Mac
this is
Jones.
Great, man. I can sit here and watch this all day.
Yeah, I wonder what you see, as we see Doug Peterson, of course, what do you watch in these? Like, when you go out to camp, you see it from a different lens. Mm-hmm. I always say there's so much going on. Like, when we get to camp time, people be like, hey, did you see this? Did you see this? Like, well, I don't know. You go in there, you got to have a plan. You can't watch 15 different things. Like, you just can't.
So, yeah, yeah.
Like, you might see something that I don't see, and that's just the way it works. That's why we have a lot of media out there. And if you follow everybody, then you can pick something up maybe from somebody different. Then there are things that we all see at the same time.
Hey, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure what this drill even is, right? It's just kind of practice, like, tackling just ball. Yeah, all right, Trevor, I see you.
Ball security.
Ball security right there. But, yeah, the wide receivers were like kind of like tucking it and going down to the ground a little bit, maybe making some business decisions, not wanting them to go through a tackle. But if you're asking me what I'm watching, I mean, obviously me being on the defensive side of the ball, that's where I primarily go. And obviously when you're not wearing pads, it's hard to gauge exactly what these guys can bring to the table. But technique's a big thing, and I broke this down a couple years ago when Kalyvon Chaisson was a rookie. You know, I said that he had great get-off, but when you put him next to Josh Allen in terms of – it was a spin move I was breaking down and dissecting. And it was literally just one little hitch step kind of affected what his spin looked like compared to Josh Allen, who was very sound in terms of his technique. And, you know, it's those little finite details that as an edge rusher where if you get those things down, you can be successful. If you can't get those things down – you know, maybe we're talking about a 1 or 2 sack season and obviously talking about him not being here anymore. So to me, you could start to see the details a little bit of what these guys can bring to the table and what they have to work on.
Yeah, and as we watch handoffs, I'm going to get into the running backs in just a moment. But just back to, you saw Trayvon Walker. Also, number 94 there is Mason Smith. He mm-hmm. is a big guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there is that when you notice when you go out there and you're like, holy cats, man, that guy is a big dude. And I think we're all going to say that initially, number 94. I mean, he is... The Jags look good. There's a nice job by Weber to get him. I mean, look at him move, too, at that size. I mean, he's fun. Mm-hmm. He's fun to get excited about. That's a player, again, that if healthy, we are going to inflate going into the year. If he makes it to September and he's feeling good and looking good and healthy, he's a guy that I think is just going to jump in camp and we're going to get all excited about and probably too excited about mm-hmm. because it's a difference between performing once you get in between the lines and on Sundays. But it's hard not to get excited about the way the Jags look, the athletes the Jags have when they get off the bus.
Yeah, I mean, obviously size is a big thing in terms of physicality and being able to stop the run, especially in the defensive interior. And this was an issue last year, and it was addressed in the draft. So, yeah, I'm excited to see these big bodies. Now, can these big bodies move? Can these big bodies play and be productive? Time will tell, but listen, you can't teach the size of Mason Smith. You can't teach, you know, the athleticism of Mason Smith. Now, can they put it together with Ryan Nielsen? Can he get the best out of Mason Smith? And we'll see.
I think people forget, by the way, 96, Adam Gotz is still on this team. Mm-hmm. He's done a nice job in his career here. Not a headline guy, but he's done a nice job. Back to where we're looking at, I think we're going to take a look at some receivers doing stuff, Parker Washington, but and it's okay. Weber doesn't have to get us back to the running backs. One of the messages out of today was Doug Peterson saying, hey, we got to keep ETN fresh. Mm-hmm. You know, we need Tank Bigsby to do more, to evolve, to continue to get better. And we need ETN to continue to evolve and get better as well. So it's going to be an interesting balance because if they do get more out of Bigsby, they keep ETN even more fresh. I think he's as dangerous as they come. I love ETN. I think he's underrated. Mm-hmm. I think his career so far the last couple of years has been terrific. They feel like he's even got more in him. And I think Bigsby can help even get more in him because there's a bunch of things going on. ETN can have another really nice year. He can lead the way. He can be the explosive guy. He's got to be the main guy. But if Bigsby starts to emerge a little bit, now you've got the 1-2 punch. You've got a little bit different style. You've got a goal line guy hopefully delivering around the end zone. And it also makes that draft class a little longer last year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to go with Bigsby here, a lot of impact that he can make in a bunch of different narratives, storylines, and actual play.
No, I think if the NFL has showed us anything, it's that when you have these fast twitch, explosive running back types, you don't want to make them the bell cow and give them, you know, 25, 30 carries a game. It's just you can't hold up. Even like Bijan Robinson last year was supposed to be this bell cow and yeah, he had a great rookie year. He showcased a lot of skills, but once again, he got kind of worn down a little bit just because of taking all these hits. There's not a lot of Derrick Henrys to go around where you can get the guy the ball 30 times and you're confident, okay, we'll see you next week again, and you can do the same thing. So I do want to see, obviously, Tank Bigsby take that next step forward. He has to. There has to be a guy to help lighten the load a little bit of a Travis Etienne. I mean, I always compare it to – what Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara were able to do in New Orleans. Once Ingram left and it was the Alvin Kamara show, like, still a great running back with all due respect, but he kind of faltered a little bit because he is getting so much more of the workload now, and that does take a toll on your body. So, yes, if Tank Bigsby can come in and give you 12 to 15 carries, and then you can obviously supplement that with the explosiveness of Travis Etienne, well, now you're cooking. Now you have something because – anytime you can get different looks from the backfield, the better.
Yeah, this is everyone's favorite part, a little pitch and catch out at practice and Jags OTAs as the quarterbacks are throwing to the wide receivers. And Brian Thomas Jr., obviously in action here for the Jags. Gabe Davis, once again, if you're just jumping in, had a baby over the weekend, so he's not at the OTAs. But Christian Kirk back and healthy. Evan Ingram obviously doing his thing. And
we'll see that throw. Ooh, that's a nice connection. Tell you what, that was a $56 million a year throw right there. If I saw one,
that was the 23rd overall catch.
That was effortless right there.
That was to the house it was going to be.
Oh, I was done. Yep. I'm kind of noticing something that I'm a little surprised by here. I mean, once again, it's OTAs. I'm not taking too into account in it. But in the past, when we had like Jack Del Rio and company, and I think Malarkey kind of fell in this label too, we always had a tape. You had to have your ankles taped, had to have your wrists taped. Like, you had to treat it like it was a game, essentially. And I don't see that here.
Huh.
I mean, a little something side note.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I would never notice that.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I don't see guys with, like, tape or anything on
their
wrists.
Why would that be?
I mean, once again, I just think that liability for injuries, you know, I mean, I think that was Jack's thing. But also, like, he wanted to simulate, like, you're in a game.
I see.
And obviously, if you get your ankles taped in the game, you got to get them in practice.
That's
as
something
well.
I've never really looked at much, but now I will.
Yeah. And, I mean, we have Spat here, yeah. So there's Trevor. Is that Trevor, I think?
That's Mac. Yeah.
It's Mac. Okay.
Those look like Mac's legs.
Those are some Mac calves. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. I'm not sure if he's. I don't think he might be having a light.
Again, it's
job,
noteworthy
but.
To me that the last time we saw him on a practice field, which we didn't even see him practice fully the last 3 weeks of the year, I mean, he had that tape. I mean, we're all over it. We had taped up ankles, we had braces on the legs. I mean, there was a lot going on with Trevor at the time, and it is good to see him. Him healthy. All right, let's free up Stuart Weber. Appreciate him taking a live look over there. And
that was great, Stuart. Thank you.
Really good stuff from Weber to kind of get a peek in at Jaguars OTAs. Only a couple of those sessions are open, but get you kind of excited about the Jags. I'm not going to lie, and I don't get overly excited about this time of year. I've been covering this for 25 years.
Mm.
But there is something that gets you excited about seeing Trevor Lawrence on the field. Like, I think he gives you that. I think there's something, I mean, again, not to over-dramatize. I'm just saying, first of all, it's kind of like a, hey, they're back, or hey, it's good to, we haven't seen that in months. Mm-hmm. We love football, right? But I do think there's a little bit of a, when you see that guy, and I know we joke about this, when you hear from him, he kind of instills hope. Mm-hmm. He represents hope in a lot of different ways, I think, to this organization, to this city, to this fan base. You can have your criticisms, you can debate how good, bad, whatever. I'm just saying a healthy Trevor Lawrence gives you a chance. Hmm. And I think you feel that. I even kind of sensed that when I saw him when Stuart went to Trevor. It's like, all right, there's the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Jags are hoping. I think Josh now does that on the defensive side. I look at guys like Ingram and Kirk, and I'm like, those are the guys to me that validate what we talk about on a daily basis that, hey, this team could be pretty good. Like, those are the guys. And by the way, I just say the same about Doug Peterson. I'm a big fan of Doug. I think he's a really good coach. So it's nice to see those guys out on the field, even though we're still months away from it really mattering on Sundays. All right, let's take a break. Brent and Austin Show, Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. That was very fun to be able to take you into an OTA session. And once again, appreciate Stuart Weber for the report. And then hustle on inside to do that. Look like the rain is, if it's happening, it's just a light rain at the time and not impacting those guys out on the field. Once again, we'll have one of the Jaguars on the stream. We just did that. But we'll have the Jacksonville Armada. The women's team will make its debut on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network coming up on Saturday. That's a 5 o'clock game, by the way. ActionNewsJacks.com, the Action News Jacks app. And coverage will begin at 4:30 with Stuart Weber as well. Jacksonville Armada win the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.
What's this one? This is Charlton County. They will play today against Lanier County. That was one we were telling you about earlier, that school is out. School is canceled. Love it. So they can go watch that one. And Charlton County trying to go back-to-back in the state of Georgia for state championships. Good luck to the Indians. 2-2 game in the fifth now. A couple of sack flies for St. John's Country Day. They only have one hit in the game so far, but they'll be coming up soon in the bottom of the fifth. And still right there in the mix to win a state semifinal game. Again, Trinity Christian goes tomorrow. On the girls' side, Baker County plays Wednesday. UC and Baldwin play tomorrow. There's a chance Wednesday three teams could play from the area, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock. If that is the case, I might be over there and bring the show on the road to Claremont for some of that state softball series. We will keep you posted. We're at Furniture Source, by the way, in the Town Center on Thursday, so come on over. Hang out with us on the recliners.
Let's go.
That's a good place to be. And on Friday, we will be at Best Bet Jacksonville. We're always hanging out at Best Bet St. Augustine, but for this weekend and this show on Friday, we'll be at Best Bet Jacksonville on Monument Road. So there's an update for what we're doing with the shows on the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane. It was like a week ago now you were at Welcome to Rockville, right? That wasn't this weekend.
No, this is this past weekend. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so 2 weeks.
So 2 weekends ago, Brent. Yeah. Correct.
Was it? I don't think I asked you about the Sunday nighter. Like, was it good?
Oh, yeah, man. Got in a mosh pit.
We did talk a little mosh pit.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Limp Bizkit, right?
Casey was here. Well, the mosh pit was more Slipknot on Sunday, but Limp Bizkit was a little more. Like, it was still in your face, but Slipknot was a different story, man. Like, Slipknot was just, yeah. Craziness, yeah. I mean, like, I didn't venture out trying to get into a mosh pit and push people around and throw some bows and everything, but, like, I was a product of my environment that night, man, and everybody around me was getting into it, so I'm like, all right, well, let's get in the mix then, and I told this story to Casey. There was a guy my age, or maybe a little older, kind of hard to tell, who was on all the steroids, all the juice, okay? He was like Latimer from the program. Have you ever seen the program? Kim, program fan? Probably not. I don't know. Yeah, I just assumed that I was right. But basically the program, great college football movie, Latimer, guy that was juiced up. That's who I was dealing with in the mosh pit. And he kept on saying, dude, you got to come out. Let's go. This is Slipknot. What are you standing around for? I'm just like, hey, I'm going to listen to him my way, and you can listen to him your way. He's like, whatever, man. And then finally it got to the point where, you know, one of the songs came out. I'm like, I'm feeling this. So let me get in the mix, start pushing people around. And then he came out and said, that's what I've been waiting from you all night. That's what we've been waiting for. Like he's a high school football coach, man, trying to bring out the best of me. So, like, that was interesting, but still a great time. And that's the beauty of it. Once again, I'm 36 years old, man. Like, I'm not trying to get in mosh pits and get with the kids. But it is a beautiful thing, though, when, you know, people still follow the unwritten rules of a mosh pit. You know, if someone goes down, you help them back up. You know, if someone's small in there, you make sure that, you know, they have enough area to do their thing as well, and you don't be mean to them. So, like, it's just, there's a lot of unwritten rules that were followed, and I'm going to say, crowd surfers, you got to stop being on your cell phones, because that I got hit in the back of the head, like, 3 times from crowd surfers.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I mean, I kind of stick out, you know, Brent?
Yeah, so that's true. That's going to happen. It's easy for you to get hit.
Yeah.
Are you on the summer circuit at all?
On the summer circuit of
concerts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if anything good comes down the pipe, I'll definitely check it out.
Do you have anything, like, on the radar?
Nothing really on the radar. I think Alanis, this is more, I think, in the fall. Alanis Morissette's doing a tour I'm trying to see.
Really?
Yeah, man. I like Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I grew up on her, man. Yeah. So that'd be a cool thing to see. What about you, man?
Nah, I don't. Well, I mean,
did you go to George Strait? Did you go to Mosh Pit?
No, we went to Luke Combs. Any concerts. We're going on this big trip this summer, and I was looking to see if any concerts would be there that I'd be interested in, but none kind of matched up.
Okay.
To kind of hit the music side of things, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
What was the last concert that you were, like, super geeked up about?
I mean, last concert that I was
like, I wasn't
super
that way about Luke Combs. Like, Luke Combs.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great question. I mean, always I'm a big Avery Brothers fan.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming to town too in November around my birthday. So
they're going to St. Augustine.
Yes, St. Augustine. Yeah, yeah. So I'll be jacked up for that one.
Everybody they said like, I've listened to some Avett Brothers, and a lot of, I remember when I was talking, used to talk about St. Zach Brown Band a bunch, and people be like, "Well, you'd like the Avett Brothers."
Too. Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I never fully got into it, but I've listened to them. So that would probably be a pretty good show to go to. Now.
Yeah, man, because, like, the cool thing about them, they have so many songs and tracks that every concert's going to be different. Like, it can be, like, night and day different.
One of the what I keep hearing about, and we've been to some Zach Brown Band, he loves doing covers, which I understand, like, the that's fun for the artist.
Yeah.
But it's less fun for the consumer, the customer. Like, I don't, like, I get it. They're really talented. Like, it is fun. It's okay, but like one or two is fine.
Yeah.
They like to do a bunch of them. Zach Brown Band.
Yeah.
Which probably just keeps it fresh. I get it.
Of course, yeah.
But I want to, they have some, to your point, they have so many songs. Like, there's so many songs you want to listen to that you like.
Exactly.
Nice, happy medium there. I think we're going to go head back out, Kim, if we can. Kim Corner, cue up that practice video. Jaguars out there on OTAs, and Stuart Weber giving us a sneak peek throughout the show, or at least in the last half hour or so. And here he is back at it again as we take a look at the defensive side of things. Oh, this has been a talker, hasn't it? The secondary.
Yep.
And what that secondary will look like, and who's going to be out there. No depth chart. I actually think the Jags have a pretty good depth chart in the secondary. What we're trying to figure out is who's going to emerge as the frontline guys.
Yes.
In the secondary. That's really the storyline for me.
Okay. So I told this
Jerry and Jones.
Is this
right
the
there?
Two? Okay. So it's defense on defense right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. 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 They're doing
so. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Daniel Thomas, by the way.
Okay. So
Jags have a lot of safety. I like the safety.
Who's 27, by the way? Jim, the long name.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
He has some length to him, though, Brent. You like that?
Yeah, there is some length there.
Once again, I can't get over. I can't
is
believe
Jones
wrists
wearing number
aren't
six? Is that Jerry Jones that Stewart's showing us? Maybe not.
Is Savage number six? I don't know.
I gotta
see
it.
We'll find out. We'll
I
have to get our
all the numbers
our respect.
That came out. I could just look it up.
Yeah, you could, man. What's the fun in that, Brent?
Buster Brown.
You really hope that he has, I mean, he has the name alone.
Yeah, but I mean, I like Buster Brown. Again, I think a guy like Buster Brown is way, like, I'm okay with him more than other people are. There's Antonio Johnson.
A lot of J's. Johnson,
player.
Jones, and Johnson.
And Jones is 22 right there. That's Jerry and Jones
yep.
out of Florida State. So he's wearing 22. So, you know, but to your point, I like some of these guys that I think people have given up on already. And I'm not telling you they're frontline guys. It might be fine just to be depth guys. I think we've seen some things out of them. They really like, over the last couple of years, Gregory Jr. Now, I don't know if I've seen enough about a Gregory Jr., but, like, I'm okay with these guys because they've been around it. They've played mm-hmm. in it. You hope to develop it. Now, it's a new system, and we'll see how that weeds out. I mean, the players that they've had the last couple of years, they still have to be able to fit in this style for Ryan Nielsen, right? I mean, that's going to be a key part of it.
I think right there, I mean, once again, I'm not sure what that drill exactly, if they're rotating or not, like switching off, but it looked like Jerry Jones taking a slot from the nickel spot, taking it from the slot.
Yeah.
It's the big question mark going into this whole camp is, where do you put him at? I mean, Mike Norvell was on our show a couple weeks ago saying how, you know, the guy is great at nickel. And I think we ought to agree there. That's probably more his natural position. But do they try to put him on the outside and make him a number two as well?
Yeah, Kim, we got to come back to us because now that practice session is closed. So we get a look at what just transpired a little bit as we get you in to see some of the practice with Stuart Weber at OTA number one. A little look at the secondary of the Jaguars defense. And again, I'm intrigued by the secondary. I'm intrigued by the safeties. I'm intrigued by the versatility of their defense in that backside, and also how they use the versatility of their players in the front seven, because I still think it's a bit of a mystery how they're going to shake things up along that front line. That's probably the way they want it. What will they do with the Roy Robertson Harris's? How much can they move him around? Eric Armstead, how much can they move him around? Then you go back to the linebacker spot. We had a conversation about Devin Lloyd last week. I think he's an interesting piece here. Is there enough pass rush is the overall question. Like, to me, that's the biggest question on defense. Is there enough depth at pass rush? Even more so than who will emerge at the secondary and be the starters. That's a big question. But I know they have guys. Like, I'm not sure they have enough guys on that pass rush unless they start playing with other combinations, which would include a guy like Devin Lloyd and put him in a spot to do that. And then I'm like, oh, okay. If you're starting to tell me, hey, Devin Lloyd's going to move up and pass rush a little bit more, which they've kind of indicated, I'm like, okay, I feel better about that. Still want to see it. We haven't seen it at this level.
Well, yeah, we have to see it at this level because it's one thing to, you know, rush the passer and blitz and everything in college, but in the NFL, it's definitely a different game. So the fact that, you know, he's kind of been regulated to playing more of a traditional linebacker, drop back into coverage, diagnose kind of role for the first part of his career makes you a little nervous, but once again, if Ryan Nielsen could turn him loose and say, hey, man, do what you do best, and you can kind of take to that, then I think you have something there.
Yeah, you know, we talked about Tank Bigsby earlier, and I think he's a big, like an underdog, not an underdog, kind of an undertold big part of the equation, because I think his impact on others, and you can go a lot of different ways, pick your favorite person. But I do think Lloyd kind of fits that to me on the defensive side. If there's a domino effect of a guy and his play and what you think you can get, what you hope you get, his versatility, how you're used, and the impact on others and some of the question marks we might have that could get answered. Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of that guy on that side of it going into year three, where I think Bigsby could be that guy on the offensive side of things.
Yeah, I mean, you took them both pretty high, and obviously you want to see that return on that investment. So, yeah, I agree with you where I think of, you know, the best of Lloyd is still yet to be seen. But if you set him up for success, I mean, we mentioned this last week a little bit, but it's the Miles Jack effect. Miles Jack played his best football when he was off the ball, weak side, using him as athleticism. For whatever reason, they decided, hey, well, you know what? I mean, you're good off the ball, but let's go ahead and put the green dot on you. Puzz is gone now. You're calling the plays a lot more on your play. You're playing middle linebacker now. And it wasn't the best version of Miles Jack. So, yeah, I think you can see a game changer if Lloyd can take to this new position. But once again, he's got to be coached properly, and it has to be the right scheme for him to fall in line. But I'm more excited for him to do that than what I've seen the past couple of years of what he's been able to do.
Yeah, I think Lloyd and Bigsby are fun guys to keep an eye on with the upside that they have. There's more. There are other guys. There's draft picks. There's a bunch of ways to go here, but that's what's fun about this time of year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, we got to peek in the last 45 minutes or so to a couple of different parts of practice. You can always go back and check it out on YouTube and on Twitter and Twitch and Facebook and when the show replays here on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network. But it was about 5 minutes prior to hour number two, and we've shown you a bit now over the last 45 minutes, thanks to Stuart Weber. Stuart also had a report from Jags headquarters. So OTA number one, a very successful one here on the Brent and Austin show, and still we'll hear from Christian Kirk most likely later tonight in the TV side of things, CBS 47 and Fox 30. Let's take a timeout. We're a little bit behind Brent and Austin show here on a Monday, and what else is happening in the sports world outside of football? Well, the NBA is down to the Final Four. Do we like it? Are the Celtics going to blow everybody away? Can the Timberwolves do what they did to Denver, to Luka, and then maybe to the Celtics? Are they the sneaky team to beat based on style of play that Austin brought up a couple of weeks ago? We'll have some NBA chatter and a little bit more from around the sports world. Don't forget on Wednesday, Miller and Moulton start us off, and then Brent and Austin show and Cup Date with Stuart Weber. He's had a lot to talk about lately. A week with Action Sports Jacks at 1:30 with Olivia Tassily, and at 2 o'clock, no gate fees, presented by Nimnik Buick GMC. It will be our final episode of 2024, and will we be celebrating a couple of state championships? We sure hope so. And we'll take you there on Wednesday. That's part of the Wednesday lineup each and every week here on the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.